Hello and welcome back to the Marketing Freaks at Shop Talk US. In the third episode of our series, I'm speaking with Poonam Goyal, Sector Head and Senior Research Retail Analyst at Bloomberg. We talk through her insights into the e-commerce and retail sector. Very much hope you find this one useful and interesting, and I'm sure you will. If you do, please come and subscribe in all the usual podcast places, and let's get started with the episode. Poonam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's really kind of cool to have a chat, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. And I imagine your schedule here is pretty hectic. So yeah.
No, I appreciate you having me here. So thank you so much.
Look, it's going to be fun. So we're going to be talking about, I guess, like your interest in e-commerce and your career within the retail sector. But before we go into that, do you want to give us an overview of who you are and what you do at Bloomberg?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Poonam Goyal. I'm the Senior Equity Research Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Bloomberg Intelligence is an equity research arm at Bloomberg, and we cover over 135 industries, 2,000 plus companies. I cover the e-commerce and retail sector there.
Wow, that's amazing. And so you've been in retail for 2 decades.
Almost 2 decades, yes.
That's amazing. How have you seen it evolve over that time? Because that's a massive kind of shift from what we would call in the UK like the high street through to like e-commerce dominating everything. But what's your experience of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up shopping at the malls, right? Yeah. You went to the malls. I don't think that many people shop at the malls today. So
no.
Clearly there's been a shift in where we shop. We still shop at stores, but we shop more online today. We shop on social platforms. We use influencers to help us decide on what we want to buy. And we have access to more products than we ever had before.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, I see my kids on Amazon.
Yeah.
And they're 7 and 9, right? And as soon as they get a bit of pocket money, they're on Amazon. And whatever they fancy looking at, it's there. Whereas when I was their age, I'd be like, right, I have to get the bus into town, walk up and down,
yeah,
might find one or two things. It's bonkers, isn't it? When you actually think about it, it's mad.
It's like you can shop at the tip of your fingers in your home, on the bus. You know, they're coming home from school and they're like shopping, they're filling their carts up. And all you have to tell them is, go ahead, push the buy button.
I know. And it's here the next day or sometimes the same day.
Exactly.
Madness. So e-commerce in general, I think, is really interesting, or has been particularly interesting over the last few years, because COVID, huge boom and spike in online activity. And I think obviously a very unexpected but uncharacteristic spike in activity. And then now into where we are now, which is a relatively unstable economic environment where converting customers is kind of harder than it's been for a very, very long time. What's your take on the last few years?
So I think the pandemic basically just jump-started the push for e-commerce, right? Retailers were investing in e-commerce even before the pandemic. But if you ask them at that point, when can they roll out buy online, pick up in store? They would have told you 5 years, you know, maybe like 25, 30 stores a year. It happened overnight. In 3 months, retailers were fully equipped to operate digitally. And that equation shifted everything and how we shopped in e-commerce. We went from low double-digit penetration in the U.S. for online retail sales to more than 25%. And it doesn't stop here. We're still going up. We're going to 33% of total e-commerce sales in the next few years.
It's insane, isn't it? But that spike brings that amount of change so rapidly brings challenges too, right? Because you've got brands having to get used to that. You've got shipping and freight, everything. So what do you think some of the challenges were with that immediate spike in activity?
I think there's two challenges. One is distribution, right? So the Amazons of the world, the Walmarts of the world, they have the capital, they have the distribution centers, they have the logistics framework where they can operate large businesses online. Uh-huh. But when you look at some of the smaller private brands that, you know, don't have access to capital, it's harder for them to build that. So what they're doing is they're leveraging marketplaces. And we see that with Amazon and Walmart, where you're seeing more and more sellers come to the marketplace because that's how they can grow their digital business. And marketplaces are where people can find value. To me, Amazon is a search engine now. I mean, if you're looking for something, you almost say, okay, let me go check if it's on Amazon, right? And let me go buy it there. So retail has changed, and distribution, speed, fulfillment, I think those are some of the biggest pain points today.
Yeah, definitely. I think the customer's expectation as well. So, you know, the fact you can go onto Amazon, one-click purchase, and it's there the next day, the latest, has kind of created this expectation that that should be the case with any e-commerce site. And when you've got you know, an independent business, sometimes that's not possible, or it's not the case, right? Or they're not working at weekends. Or do you think there's a potentially a challenge there with customer expectations?
Yeah, I think customers want it today, right? Yeah. I think Amazon has trained them that I can get same day or 2 days. So when you don't get something in 2 days, it's almost a cart abandonment issue, right? Where you're like, oh, this will come in 5 to 7 days. And you're like, maybe not. I'll go see if Amazon has it. Or I'll go see, you know, if I can get it in the store. Because we have this need for urgency. We want it now.
Uh-huh.
And there's a reason why Amazon's so big. I mean, if you look at the amount of volume that's done on one single marketplace alone, Amazon globally does about $700 billion in GMV. And we think it'll go to $1 trillion in a few years.
Yeah.
So just there's a lot of volume being done there.
It's bonkers, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah.
It's just absolutely just mind-blowing, right? The other thing that we saw in terms of, I think, a challenge with how you got a big boom, challenging period, is that a lot of brands were forecasting of the growth they had in the pandemic, and almost forecasting that to continue, and then clearly it was unnatural, so it kind of balances back out. Have you seen that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially in the US, we saw the pandemic boom, and then we saw growth rates kind of dip. And I think now we're at a point where they're probably normalizing and ready to grow again. So we've went through the boom, we've went through the bust, and now we're normalizing. But that said, if you look at it over time in the next decade, you'll still see that upward slope. It won't be straight up, but the long-term trajectory of it will be higher.
There's still growth.
Yeah, there's still growth. I mean, that's where we're growing, right? And when retailers talk about e-commerce versus stores, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter where you shop, because you could be in the store, but you could have started your journey online.
Uh-huh.
And you can be in the store and complete your journey online. So it's really a blurred vision today.
Absolutely. So how do brands take advantage? And I think you've got a really interesting, quite holistic perspective on this. I'm really interested to hear what you think. So how should a brand make sure they're taking advantage of that growth and get a piece of that prize?
I think you have to invest in technology. I think technology is key here. And we spoke about this a little earlier.
Yeah.
You know, when you at this entire conference that we're at, we're hearing a lot about AI and generative AI, really. And I think it's game changer. I mean, the amount of investment that's going to be infused in generative AI is astronomical. We're going to go from under $40, $50 billion today spent on generative AI in terms of tech spending to $1.3 trillion. And that's our estimates at BI. So the amount of investments going into AI are really going to fuel the next level of change in shopping, because now you're going to be able to find product more easily. You're going to be able to have that personal connection with the shopping journey, both online and in store. And it's going to create efficiencies across the organization.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And obviously everyone's talking about AI, but do you feel like brands are starting to grasp its value, starting to implement things correctly, or do you feel like we're still very much square one?
It depends on the brand that you're talking about. I think everyone wants to play in the AI space,
but
it's not, you have to have the capital, right, to play in it. So the big companies, absolutely. We have Revolve as a company that I covered, and it's an apparel company, and they launched an AI billboard. So they designed it, and they were able to use that to draw customers to their site and automatically generate conversion. So the payoff is there.
Yeah.
We're hearing brands talk about the payoff, whether it's in customer service, whether it's in search, whether it's in product recommendations. AI is bearing fruit, but it's still early. We're in very, very early days of AI, especially generative AI. So I think the future is bright for the retailers that invest in it. But remember that it's all about making sure that you have the right connection with the right product, with the right consumer, because that's important. We live in this world where we have too much data.
Yes.
Like, as a consumer. So at some point you want to know what's real, what's fake. What can I trust? What can I not trust?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to come into focus too in all of this over the next decade.
Yeah, and do you think it's, I think a lot of the conversation around AI is, do AI, invest in AI, develop what you're doing with AI. And I think there's a tendency sometimes to be like, we're going to do AI. But actually it's finding the right application for your business, your customers, and actually finding a way of using it to enhance the experience and not just do something fancy.
Yes.
Because everyone's talking about it. Is that a trend you see?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everyone wants to invest in AI, but where do you begin?
Yeah.
What's right for your business? And I think here's where the big companies are going to trial and error almost everything, right, to see what works. And they're going to throw the darts at the dartboard and something will stick. But when you think about the smaller brands, I think the key for them is to use platforms that have everything, where you can test and play in it, whether it's, you know, going on Amazon and leveraging their AI platforms, whether it's working with Google and leveraging what they've built, or Shopify, where they create platforms, right? I think for the smaller brands, you need to leverage what's out there, because you don't want to spend all your capital in building something and then it may not be the right thing for you.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this back at home last week or two ago. We're talking about actually, it's almost thinking about it in the way of what tasks can you delegate in a quite traditional manner. It's like, look, here's everything we've got going on. Here's where the improvements are. Here's what I could potentially delegate quote unquote out to AI. I thought it was quite an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you can delegate everything, that'd be great one day, right? But I think we'll always need a balance. I think like in everything in life, you know, there will be technology, but you'll need that human touch, right? You'll always need to have a combination of both to really make it more personal.
Yeah. Where does the human input come? Because even if you put this into a very small, specific example of like Google Ads, for example, right? So 5 years ago, it was all about having a really granular structure, bidding on lots of individual keywords, manually adjusting the bids. Now that's kind of all done through AI to a big degree. It's an automated thing, which means the job's different. It's not that the job isn't there anymore. It means the job is very different. It's about managing the data, understanding how that learning process works, and being able to essentially manipulate it for your benefit. So the job is different, right?
It absolutely is. And I think you said it just right, because the job is now an art. Before, the job was science, right? You go from point A to point B. You can execute this. Now it's like, okay, well, I went from point A to point B, but how many different ways are there to get there?
Yep.
And what is it telling me? And what can I do to speed that up? What can I do to make it better? So it's about the creativity that's involved in shopping today and technology today that I think where the job has evolved, whereas it's not task-oriented anymore. We can get automation too, that we have robotics. I mean, you know, there's some very interesting things going on in technology where we're being cloned to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But even then, you need to go above and beyond the task. And I think that's where the human connection is going to come from.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think there's going to be lots of exciting innovation coming up with it. And I think even the billboard example, it's like, that's just such a clever, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing what AI can do and the speed at which you can actually see the impact of it. Mm. You know, usually you invest in technology and it takes years before you know if it worked or not. I think we're able to see results faster today and then you can implement on them. Yep. So I think that's what's really great about that.
It's an exciting time.
It indeed is.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to have a chat, and wishing you a great shop talk.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I genuinely hope you found it useful and insightful. If you did, let us know. Drop us a message on Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever your preferred method. It's always really nice to hear from you. If you're new to this podcast, please do consider subscribing. It's massively appreciated and it really does help us out. And we'll see you on the next one.